My name is Doc Sarah.
And I'm Doc in Training, Elise.
And we're not your typical doctors, where we're having transparent conversations about all things human performance.
Join us as we create a space for all disciplines and their role in optimizing the human machine.
Big conversations that will leave you satisfied.
That's what she said.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to episode number 16, the sweet 16.
Ooh.
Without the birthday cake.
We probably should have made a birthday cake, but that's okay. We're going to talk about... Oh, I'm Sarah, in case you all forgot. I should probably just say who I am. Hi, I'm Doc Sarah. Welcome. I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Doc in Training, Elise, representing the... What is Colorado? Not the Sunshine State.
Oh, don't it? The Mountain State?
The Mountain State. The Wild West.
On your way on the Oregon Trail? I don't know.
You've died of dysentery. Yeah.
Anyways, total squirrel. We're going to talk about alternative medicine or alternative medicative options. This episode's informative, but of course, if you're active duty, none of this is for you. Right, meow, but possibly, you know, it might be a path for you when you get out.
I mean, we're just here to share some opinions and some information. We're not here to, you know, prescribe, encourage, or decide.
Yeah, none of that. But essentially, we're going to graze upon some alternative medications that I would say, and I think you would say, are pretty controversial. Like, do they work? Do they not work? You know, you can have a little judgment about them before you even know them, you know, typical like middle school bullshit.
Yep.
But we're going to talk about microdosing and maybe a little bit about medical cannabis and all the fun things alike and how they can help you both physically and mentally and how too much of a good thing is always a problem. So,
right. Yeah. Let's talk about drugs.
I'm for it. The DARE program would so hate us right now. 1990s elementary school.
No, you're not wrong.
Are you knocking? Is that you, DARE program? Cover your ears. Earmuffs.
Yeah. Hey, Darren, the DARE lion.
You remembered his name. Earmuffs.
Earmuffs, Darren.
I love when they say, I think it was an old school. Once he puts the earmuffs on, he can't hear anything. He can say things like, fuck, shit, see, he doesn't hear a thing.
That's right. Exactly.
Same thing.
That's but what's anyways. Happening right now. Yeah. But yeah, no, I love that it is coming up again. I feel like this is going to be so awesome. I get to talk about how, you know, marijuana has always been they're referenced as the gateway drug. But in this case, I really do think that it was in such a beneficial way, right? Because as it's become a lot more accessible, you know, first decriminalized and then legalized. And so people have had access to it and really started to be able to see even being, you know, prescribed medically. And so now we're really starting to get back into, you know, digging into the depths of research. And talking about the psychedelics, and which is really cool because now we get to crack into open history and really start talking about like why they disappeared, you know, why they were this really great thing that then went by the wayside and became what still is known as, you know, a Schedule I drug.
Very political.
Yeah, it really is. So, my interest in, you know, finding out a lot, I've always, when I first started working with veterans, almost a decade ago, one of the things I first noticed, right, was that by the time a lot of them came to our program, some of them were on upwards of, you know, 20 plus medications.
Yeah.
And some of them, you know, had enough and cold turkeyed. I met some who, because of narcotic prescriptions, were addicted and couldn't get off. Like, it's just the horror stories. So for a lot of them, when we would come and talk about symptom management, they were, you couldn't get them to go towards the VA or a doctor to save, you know, potentially their life, right? So alternative medicine, everything from therapy, you know, take a walk, sunbathe, do some meditation, yoga, right? All those things. But then for me, I was in Colorado. Marijuana was legalized when I got out there in 2012. Huge thing, or like shortly thereafter. But when I started meeting people in 2013, it was saving lives and it was so great, right? So we can get more into marijuana in a little bit, but just again, like I said, it was such a beautiful thing to see how this had pulled people out. And they weren't taking it recreationally. I mean, some of them I'm sure were, but for a lot of them, they were just dosing, right? Like, it was what they took every single day, you know, like your vitamin C or, you know, your prescription medication. Mm-hmm. And they were able to function. It was giving them back their life. And so for me, it really was like, okay, why is something so good so wrong? So I really started to gathered information. It was some of the ways that I was able to crack into creating really awesome treatment plans with some of these guys was to be really open-minded about what works for them, you know, and then to just be that educational resource. Hey, you need to do what's right for you. I'm always here about, you know, you need to personalize your toolbox, but do it informed. So that led me to just learning. Ayahuasca, I think, was the next one that I really started to, you know, study and try and understand and be kind of fascinated with. And then Michael Pollan wrote How to Change Your Mind. And that really kind of, again, there's just so many really beautiful pieces in his book. Now there's a documentary on Netflix. And he really talks about, like, guys, you really have to take a look at this. And again, cracks open history. So to talk about the psychedelics, right? So DMT or ayahuasca, psilocybin, LSD, am I forgetting one? MDMA. Mm. So these are kind of the ones that are really starting to gain traction out there. And they're talked about more regularly. Again, they're still Schedule 1, but you start seeing things, you know, people are sharing their experiences, not only through, you know, what you would call, like, they're not even really talking about recreational dosing anymore. In fact, a lot of the people who are using it as a part of like a therapeutic treatment plan, they're actually doing, so with LSD, for example, but most of these, you're talking about like a 10th to 20th of a recreational dose, right? A microdose is like super tiny.
Very small.
Yeah. And it's also not something you're going to, you know, you're not usually taking it every day. Some people take it once a week. One of the original plans was like one day on, 2 days off. But yeah, let's talk about like what happens, right? So what they're finding. So again, a lot of these drugs, LSD specifically, but these drugs were heavily studied in the 50s and then completely banned in the late 60s. It's talked about, and again, this documentary does a beautiful job of kind of like discussing, you know, the thoughts on it, right? But one of the thoughts is that they showed up and people were really having positive experiences, but it was also, the concern was that it couldn't be controlled, it couldn't be managed. And so it was marketed that it was being linked to poor performance in school, overdoses, people going crazy, in an effort to make sure that people stayed in school or, you know, stayed rigid to the structure and were available to be drafted to the war.
Fake news.
Yeah. So because they were, for the first time in, you know, our country's history, people were told they had to go to war and they were like, no.
No LSD for you. No soup.
Yeah. And they were like, crap, what do we do? So anyways, yeah, not to get too far down the history rabbit hole, but I think it's really fascinating. So it got shut down, you know, they were banned, they were marketed as being banned, and it really kind of like, you know, fell into the depths of the, you know, research archives. And it's cool because it's coming back and when you really talk about what's happening. So DMT, ayahuasca, people have talked a lot about ayahuasca retreats. Aaron Rodgers actually is becoming very popular right now in media because he just went on a podcast and talked about his ayahuasca retreat and how therapeutic it was and how, you know, like eye-opening, and it just really changed his life. It just really did some deep healing for him. Ayahuasca, LSD, psilocybin, they all are, they do this cool thing when they get into the brain. They're indolamines. So they really go into the brain and they mimic serotonin. So your brain picks it up very similarly to like an SSRI. In fact, there was one study done, let me see, I wrote it down, 2021. It was a tiny study, which is why people are like, oh, you know, people who don't want to listen to what it said can throw it out. But it did compare LSD to Lexapro and actually found that not only did it match, hold on, let me make sure it was LSD. Let me see.
And we can link the study below too, right?
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm sorry. It wasn't LSD. It was the psilocybin. They compared psilocybin, so mushrooms, to Lexapro and showed that it not only matched, right? Like it not only matched the effects that Lexapro had, but it actually did it deeper and faster. Oh. Yeah. Super cool, right?
Yeah.
And so psilocybin, we'll kind of start there, is following the path of marijuana. So it's starting to be decriminalized. It's been decriminalized in Denver, Colorado, which is really cool to start giving access, you know, to, again, I'm seeing a lot of people doing it medicinally. A fun fact, typically with psychedelics, is that you don't have the same trip twice. And in fact, one of the reasons that it's prescribed the way that it is, right, like the one day on, 2 days off, that kind of thing, is because your body will, you know, like get used to it. They've said they've seen, for example, in nature, when animals eat the mushrooms or get access to a psychedelic, they'll notice that if they keep eating them, you know, it's very quickly after like so many doses right in a row that it stops having an effect. So it's really important, you know, you're not going to get anything. More is not better in this case. Sorry.
Nor is never better. Sorry, guys. Everything in moderation. Yeah. Your mom was right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so again, starting to be decriminalized, which is really cool. It's in the same family. Psilocybin is in the same family as LSD and DMT. And again, when it goes in, it crosses the blood-brain barrier, which is good and allows it to basically work similarly to serotonin. So the brain gets all those happy vibes from it, but obviously does it like organically.
Right. Without right? any like synthetics this, or like man-made.
It's a freaking mushroom. You know? And so like I always give the example of, you know, organic versus man-made. And I've started using the example of like the T-Rex and the Indominus, right? Like you can predict and understand what a T-Rex does, but the Indominus you can't. And there's, you know, a certain
that bitch
man-made
is plastic.
Pandemic. So those kinds of things, you know, when you talk about like you can understand what an organic substance does, you can't always predict or understand what a man-made or synthetic is going to do. So yeah, very cool, right? So this is kind of what they're saying. So all of these, psilocybin, LSD, DMT, they all kind of say they do similar things, or at least that's what they kind of think, is that this is what they go in and they hit this receptor. It's the 5-HT2 for all you brain geeks out there, the 5-HT2 serotonin receptor. They all are said to similarly do the same thing. Brain gets the happy vibes. LSD also hits dopamine receptors. So they've actually started, you know, recommending or suggesting that it would have a benefit for ADHD as well.
Nice. Which I've heard that a lot too with patients who, or, you know, friends, family, things of that sort, that have tried microdosing for ADHD. You know, they're a little nervous, but then it happens and they're like, all I can explain is that I can focus better and it doesn't really make any sense, you know?
Yeah. Well, and so, yeah. So like, so again, it hits the serotonin, which is really awesome. Hits some dopamine receptors. It also, they think that it increases activity to the prefrontal cortex, which would also, oh, like you said, yeah, help with that. Help with that. Yeah. So, what was I just saying? So here's what's really cool. So again, what's really cool is when they talk about what causes, or like, when you start talking to people who have microdosed or who have done a bigger dose, and what actually happens in their experience is probably one of the coolest things, right? Because what they find is that people can't put their finger on it. They can't really express it. But like Aaron Rodgers talks about, you know, he says it as well. Like, it's just, I somehow, you know, was able to get in connection with myself and love unconditionally. So it's explained really well in the Michael Pollan documentary. So I kind of blanket this, you know, in some of the things I've worked with. I've done some integration work with psilocybin dosing. So I can kind of say there's similar stories with experiences to psilocybin and LSD. Essentially, the way it's described is like you re-experience things like you're experiencing them for the first time. So the way that it's been kind of explained is that it removes, it changes your consciousness in a sense that, as adults, we can get much more, there's two different versions, spotlight and lantern. Spotlight, we aim our attention at one thing. We just focus on the one thing. That's kind of all we can see in front of ourselves. Think about, and especially if you're struggling with things like PTSD, depression, ADHD, anxiety, where you get that spotlight, and it can even be worse if it's, you know, coupled with like a fight or flight response, right? So what it does, or what they think it does, is it really, it shifts your consciousness to a lantern consciousness, right? Think about a lantern in a room. It illuminates everything. And so you literally see everything with fresh eyes, and you feel with fresh eyes. So think about if you enjoy being outdoors, or if there's a certain color that's your favorite, think about like reconnecting with that favorite color for the first time, and then feeling that feeling for the first time. But what's cool is that this is, instead of being told what love is, instead of being told what happiness is or contentment or peace, you are experiencing it from within. And that's an experience you walk away from, like, you, once the trip is over. And this is why ketamine is another one I didn't mention at the beginning of this. This is why a lot of these are being, you know, told and researched and kind of supported as being fantastic pieces to treat these mental illnesses and injuries, because it allows somebody who grew up in a traumatic environment, suffered a vulnerable trauma, you know, sexual assault, emotional trauma, you know, emotional abuse, those kinds of things. Addiction is another one, but being able to go into something and just feel love, you know. Aaron Rodgers mentioned he like genuinely feels like he knows how to love himself and give himself permission to love himself unconditionally.
That's crazy.
Super cool. Yeah. And it's
very powerful.
It's super powerful. And it's like, I get really passionate about this, right? Because like, I think we all deserve, you know, to be able to know that. I mean, that's kind of why like I sit in the field that I do, and I know you do too, but it's like, you know, these are the parts of ourselves that we should be allowed to heal.
Right. And it's hard. It's hard.
It is totally hard. And, you know, like, it's part of the reason I got into, you know, I am an EMDR therapist, and it's part of the reason I started practicing it, because I love the tools of cognitive behavioral, dialectical behavioral. Like, don't get me wrong, they serve a purpose, but they're really classified as a top down. Right. So it's going to be me telling you to try something out, and it's going to be you telling yourself over and over and over again to create a habit, right? So kind of create a habit, which has a positive effect. But EMDR, which I think similar to these psychedelics, right? It's a bottom up approach. So it's going to go into that root. And in this one, it's such a beautiful experience. It's going to remove it. Like, it's not going to be like, it's not going to go in and be like, let's go in and experience. It's going to be flat out like, bye. It's gone, baby. Like,
bye. It's
gone. Yeah. Like
EMDR, you have to like dig it up and then rewire it.
Yeah, you have to
where this one they're like just emptying the closet, throwing all the shit out.
Exactly. Or just for like, you know, or just for like a brief moment, right? In a brief moment being the extent of the trip, genuinely being able to feel the way that you should feel, the way that we as humans are built to feel, which is healthy, which is towards growth. You know, like we are supposed to recover. We are supposed to seek the positive. We are built that way. Our environment, things that happen to us and how we perceive them create a different story. So ketamine is another one that's really started to show up. That is one that you can, a lot of people can get better access to. You can actually start going to clinics.
Is that the Michael Jackson drug?
Oh gosh. I don't know.
You keep talking. I'm gonna Google it.
Is that what he OD'd on?
I don't know.
It may or may not have been ketamine.
I feel like ketamine. I was gonna say you're like touching on. Yeah, it's like in the depths of my background of the brain, but and then these indolamine psychedelic drugs, I think they're probably gaining faster traction than things like, so MDMA, I'll just lightly touch on. It's not a classical psychedelic. It's actually a synthesized drug, but they've actually, again, in research, they found that it mimics LSD and psilocybin. And so it produces these feelings of depersonalization, altered perception. It has a methamphetamine-like chemical structure. And so this is kind of why they think that it has the reaction it does, where, you know, it increases the reuptake and release of serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, again, all these drugs that make us super happy.
And just so you're wondering, it wasn't ketamine, it was Propofol, which is a heavy duty sedative. So please retract my Michael Jackson ketamine statement that I said 5 minutes earlier. Thank you. Bye.
It's okay. So MDMA has actually been through some pretty awesome breakthrough research in treating PTSD. That's another really cool one. I believe Dr. Bessel van de Kolk talks a little bit about it and how the body keeps the score. And he talks about his experience kind of being exposed to watching that treatment. So that's really cool. Again, for PTSD, psilocybin, DMT, psilocybin and LSD and ketamine are more like, so you've got PTSD, depression, anxiety, but here's the cool thing. Psilocybin and LSD are actually finding really positive research in also treating things like addiction, cluster headaches, Alzheimer's, ADHD. Psilocybin has actually been studied to help anorexia. LSD has been studied to help Tourette's. And a lot of these studies started in the 50s. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're brand new into this game, you guys. Like, we're not sitting here going, oh my gosh, we never knew. No, like this stuff was here. This stuff was, and it's here. And now it's just, again, like I said, it's kind of coming out of the archives and I'm here for it.
Yes. All the microdosing.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Like, I'll give you a couple other stats, right? So back to the microdosing concept, LSD, 80% of, in like a study, there was an 80% report that the microdosing lifted depression. Some said almost immediately, but they also said it was different. And again, they're, you know, they said a general consensus was like, I'm back. This idea that you're reconnecting to your authentic self. And giving yourself permission to feel and like live authentically, which again, I think goes back to like what we talked about, right? Like seeing the world through fresh eyes.
It's like everybody's goal that they can't achieve.
But you can.
But you can. Possibly with alternative medication.
Yeah. And I've had a couple of clients who have done ketamine treatment and have reported similar, where it's like, here's what I think is really cool about it, right? I actually think what's really cool about pairing it up with something like talk therapy or EMDR or whatever is that it gives you the ability to feel motivated that there's actually something you're fighting for, right? Like if you've lived, if you've experienced depression, trauma, fear of being alone, abandonment, whatever, and that's been like your world for most of your life, to be able to take a break from that, how encouraging would that be, right? To get back to your therapist and say, okay, I realize it's there. Like I'm actually capable of being that person. Let's get to work. Right. And so the two pair up really, really well.
Instead of liquid courage, it's like plant made hope.
I love it. Plant made hope.
Right. That's the first thing I'm thinking. Oh, she just described liquid courage, but this is a bunch of plants, but that's a lot of hope. Plant-made hope.
Plant-made hope, baby. Yeah.
That'll be our next merchandise rollout. Plant-made hope. Hashtag microdosing.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So there's, you know, and there's a lot of research too. There's a lot of good stuff coming out. Like, so psilocybin, again, psychedelic, but there is a lot of good research just in mushrooms. And so you can also find like a lot of really good supplements and research out there that supports things like, let's see, cordyceps, reishi,
reishi and like shanga, mushrooms. Yeah, they have a lot of anti-inflammatory brain health benefits that are out there.
Yep.
You can walk through you can walk through the woods and fucking cut some shanga down. Like, it's all over the place.
Yeah. Well, and you can also, you know, you can also walk to, you know, your supermarket, right? And find a supplement. And so a lot of people, you know, so if you are sitting here saying, man, that sounds really great, I can't take, you know, a schedule one drug, these other alternative supplements, vitamins, adaptogens, minerals, adaptogens,
That's a really good point.
Have also, you know, shown to have a lot of really great positive effects similarly, maybe not quite as effectively, right? But I do know that I have, again, people and myself personally, like have felt some increased focus, which decreases some anxiety or just some like overall, you know, kind of internal buzziness that comes along with ADHD and life as an adult. So those are kind of like, I love those. I love where that's going. I'm super excited to see it. They're now starting to encourage therapists to get psychedelic training so that they can, again, offer that support. That's starting to pop up. I just love the idea that that could exist. I don't know how well it's going to, you know, I don't know how well it's going to go with the pharmaceutical companies, you know, since medical marijuana prescribed is super expensive. I know CBD, like you have to have one certain kind of epilepsy to get it prescribed.
Yeah, it depends on the state. Like New York has, it's approved in New York as well medically, but it's really strict. There's like 20 diagnoses that you have to have. You have to have, you know, a medical doctor, someone with an MD, you know, refer you. You have to submit to the state to get this identification card that you show at dispensaries and all this stuff. It is recreationally becoming legal in New York, but that rollouts over the next couple of years will function similar to Colorado, actually, where you can go in and buy a cupcake or do anything you want. But even those, they'll be more, you know, your flavored like CBD blends and things of that sort. But
I remember going to the state fair, I think in New York last year, and that was because that was, like you said, they're, you know, it's legalizing and completely changed the vibe of the New York State Fair.
Oh yeah.
It was that 100%. That, and then there were like there were CBD tents, you know, and it was just like, wow. And again, CBD is another one I'm a huge fan of. I feel like you could do an entire episode, you know, like another entire conversation about CBD, because that's a, you know, hemp, but that's like saying, you know, it's a flower, like it's a rose, and then you're like, oh fuck, there's like, you know, 35
so many roses.
Yeah,
so all like, these roses.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
But no, like the medical, even the medical rolling out, there was a lot of really good benefits. So coming off of
everything Elise was just talking about, more on the mental and physical, but a lot of those really help with the mental health. Cannabis is one of the few things that medically prescribed, if it's medical related cannabis. And what I say by that is it's usually just a lot stronger. So when I'm referring to medical cannabis or even medical prescribed CBD, it's just a lot more pure and strong. That's why it's so much more expensive. And you don't need as much to get what you want. But anyways, it's been prescribed. I'm trying to think of how long back I've had patients that have been prescribed it. Probably anywhere between the 5 to 6 year range. It's still kind of new in New York. But medically it did start getting prescribed, I want to say 6 years ago. With the majority of, you know, my exposure being with neurological patients. So we can talk about that, but just a little like here and now on how it works, what it does. So cannabis has actually been really known. It's like one of the most potent anti-inflammatories that are out there. It is a plant, and going back to like seventh grade science here, what an anti-inflammatory does is it goes in and removes free radicals from your cellular processes so that your cellular processes can communicate and function more fully. So what it's doing is just going in and taking all the shit out, all those free radicals that we have from like radiation throughout our days and microwaves and damaging synthetics, things of that sort that you've put into your body, environmental toxins and whatnot. So the cannabis actually attaches to that and cleans it out, which is really good. It also has a calming effect on the brain. It's an anhedonia effect. Actually, it produces it fully, which blocks your cortisol as well as your pain. And when you clear up the cellular processes, one of the big thing about medical cannabis or medical related THC or CBD is it will actually, like I said, improve the communication. So while it does that, so when the free radicals get removed, right, this is where I wish I had like a board I can draw on. Free radicals get removed, bam, and then your cells, they're talking to each other, right? They're your two fingers docking. That's what I'm doing right now, right? Your cells, they're talking. So when that happens and they start to function more appropriately, the cells start to regulate better. Yep. So any type of any type of pain that your brain was transmitting up neurologically, usually it's interrupted. So it does actually interrupt or stop the pain cycle or pathway by going through the anti-inflammatory process. Also stops it through the hormone production I just talked about that was similar to serotonin. When that's out, that also interrupts pain cycles and actually literally stops your cell from telling your brain that you're in pain. So therefore you don't have any pain anymore. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the weird thing about pain. People always, I guess we could have a whole conversation or episode just on pain science now that I'm thinking of it, but pain is weird because pain is literally just a signal from your cells.
Right.
Whether or not something's wrong or not wrong or whatnot. So once
it's for attention.
Yeah. And once you clean up or get rid of that process, you don't have pain anymore. Doesn't necessarily mean you don't have dysfunction in the area, but you know, typically dysfunction helps contribute to pain. So that's why THC works so good at that. The other side effect, other than relieving the pain, is the majority of the research shows just ridiculous amount of neurological benefit, like I was talking about. So once you have more happy hormone, right, overall, you have decreased muscle stiffness, might resolve your balance problems a little bit. It's going to help any type of stiff movement. So the majority of clientele that I've seen with it were some of my most like pronounced cases were Parkinson's disease. And then I had quite a few MS patients when I did home care that also were prescribed it. But like my Parkinson's people, and these are like end stage Parkinson's, right? So what would happen is I would show up to the home for their visit. This is when I went to people's homes. For a short period of time in my career, but I would show up to their homes, right? And they're to the point that they can't walk, they can't function because their tremors are so bad. You know, they can barely talk. But they would time their dosing around when I came because they would want to be productive during their therapy session. So I would let myself in. I would, you know, be there and support as I could for the person to dose themselves with their THC. We literally would wait 10 minutes. Like, it is fast. That strong medical grade stuff, it works
fast. You do not have to sit for a long time. You do not have to wait. All of a sudden, there are no more tremors, or they're not nearly as severe. The person can get up, they can walk, they can talk. This is a time that their tremors have stopped so much they can now eat or swallow, things of that sort. Like, it's just kind of amazing.
That's amazing.
What it does. And it was the same thing for MS, right? Multiple sclerosis, if you're not familiar, is a neurological condition where you can have a lot of, there's four different types, really. We're not going to get into the types. They mean different things, but essentially your body will have too much tone in it, so everything will be super tight, mm-hmm. or it can go the other way where you don't have enough tone and everything's really super floppy. So for this person in particular that I'm thinking of, she had one of the types where it was really high tone, really tight tone, and it would be the same thing, right? We'd show up to her house, she would dose herself, and then within 10-15 minutes she's literally able to stretch her arms out again, things she wasn't able to
it's
do.
Amazing. Yeah.
So if you ever get yourself in a situation, you know, obviously none of these are allowed to be done in service or in any high performance setting, but if you find yourself in any predicament where you have time off from that, or you've retired from that, and you're seeing any of this, this is a really good option. The other main treatment for it physiologically is neuropathic pain. And again, this goes back to that pain interruption that we had, but a lot of neuropathy, especially if it's idiopathic, like it just kind of onsets, nobody knows why, but you can get like diabetic neuropathy. I've had cancer patients who've had damaged, you know, distal nerve fibers because of chemo, because a lot of chemo will come out in the pads of the feet and the hands sometimes, which is terrible. But that can leave damage. And when you have damage that far out, like your body unfortunately won't heal itself. And that's very uncomfortable, very painful. You can have numbness, burning, tingling throughout your feet. And that's another thing that the medical THC or CBD can offer, is you can dose it around that and actually get a break. It won't make the neuropathy go away, but you will get a break in the symptoms. So mentally you're able to tolerate it a little bit better. For sure. Like it's, there's a ton of research, like I said, on the neurological end.
Yeah, there is. Well, and I was going to say, like, I know that there are similarities and there are differences, but CBD has also been, you know, like somewhat more accessible, because that's the thing, right? Like, and this is my beef with medical marijuana. Like, I love that it's accessible, but I've also had clients who cannot afford.
It's so expensive. Medical marijuana. It's not covered by insurance because it's considered controversial or a luxury item. Yeah.
Right. And so it's like, it's like elective, you know, it's like elective surgery kind of thing. And so that I think is where I know CBD is in some respects different, but I actually have had some clients who do better on CBD. Even treating things like MS, TBI, mental health, inflammatory, fibromyalgia is another one. We're similarly, right? Like the anti-inflammatory properties, but then also it also like builds up in your system. And so like it gets better over time, and you know, you can't really overdose on CBD. You know, you might just get like
never heard of anybody that potted themselves to death.
I know for me, like I personally I'm not a huge fan of, like, I for whatever reason, maybe it's just the strains that I constantly have found myself with, but THC tends to sedate me to the point that it produces a trauma response, where I feel trapped in my body. And so then it's like I have sedated anxiety, which if anybody knows what I just said, and then you know what I mean. And for those of you who don't, thank goodness for you. Like, congrats, because it's the worst experience. So I'm not a huge fan, but CBD has been, you know, something that has really been a good tool for, you know, when shit gets tough, when, you know, performance gets stressful, recovery from injuries, recovery from postpartum, for me. And so that's been, from everything from like a salve to a bath soak to, you know, taking it internally, orally. I don't smoke. I don't like to smoke. it. But I mean, obviously, like tinctures, I make my own tinctures, and have been doing that for a while. And again, really enjoy the science behind it, but then obviously the benefit is, you know, kind of speaks for itself.
That's awesome. Yeah, can't beat it. All the alternative medicines and all the controversial alternative conversations. But
I was going to say, I'm going to add like one more controversial like opinion, because marijuana seems to be the only organic thing that medically people are like, okay, sure, you can have this, right? Because ketamine, I know I briefly touched on it, but it is also a synthetic. So it's just because it's the only one that has started to be, it's typically used for most people. You probably recognize the term as like a sedative, right? Because it's been typically used as anesthesia. And so it's actually been a lot of countries use it as a sedative, both for humans and more probably commonly recognized in veterinary care. But they found that a specific kind of dose and a specific kind of delivery produced a psychedelic effect. And then it was actually, it's the first treatment that is actually approved, covered by certain insurances to treat mental health conditions. There's only one option. It's called Spravato. Yeah. And it was the one pharmaceutical company made this one product, and it has actually been licensed for treatment of treatment-resistant depression by the FDA. But again, it's a synthetic. It has been effective, like I mentioned before, which is really, really cool. It produces, like I said, the psychedelic effects very differently than all the other ones we talked about, than all the other, the indolamines, even medical marijuana and CBD. But yeah, so for those of you who do know, because that's probably, if there's anything out there that's more accessible, because I actually, I know that they've been dabbling with it. It might be state specific. I think the VA has started to be a little bit more open-minded to referring for ketamine treatment. But it blocks certain receptors. NMDA receptors. There's a whole lot of acronyms and receptors and interneuron things that I won't like try and all spit out of my mouth to read. But basically, like I said, yeah, like it's, they found a certain dose creates this, a different psychedelic effect that has been very successful in studies to treating things like depression, bipolar, which I think is really great, PTSD, and then the offshoots of PTSD. So significant resistant depression, significant resistant anxiety, suicidal ideation. And they've actually seen some benefit in treating symptoms of autism.
Cool.
So yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I just, like I said, I think my only thing is, you know, we need to, if you're looking for alternatives and hopefully in this generation, hopefully in this lifetime, right? We'll see it become more available. I think that's possible.
It's getting there. And just know it's options for if and when you ever have that availability, just know that there's other options out there that are alternative and, you know,
yeah,
maybe you look into them.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, ayahuasca retreats are like all the rage all over the place, you know? And so ayahuasca retreats are pretty popular. I think they're really cool. I love the idea. I think what's really cool about them is that it's, you know, if the only time you're going to give yourself the time and the space to like focus on you is going to be because you have to take a weekend away, right? Like, that's a really great way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Go spend a weekend just getting in touch with yourself, checking out the blue sky. Like, it's the first time you've seen it. Man, does that sound like an experience? Like, I watch my kid, you know, as she's growing and learning, and, you know, you watch them grow so fast. And, but like, when she was super little, and I did this with all my kids, there would be just a time where you would kind of watch them just looking around. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's always been just a thought of like how fascinating it is for them to be taking in what they're seeing. And now we're sitting here talking about this, these really cool options that do just that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you learned something new today.
I hope so. I get super passionate about this, if you couldn't tell. I mean, if you've no, known me, if you've ever worked with me, you know that I'm all for, you know, the shit that works for you. Like,
exactly. Yeah. No discrimination here.
No. No, and, if it's plant juju, if it's synthetic juju, like if it's...
We're here for all the zhuzh.
Yeah.
All the zhuzh and all the, what did I say? Plant-made happiness or plant-made hope.
Plant-made hope. Yeah, plant no, hope. For sure. Yeah, super organic. But
no, yeah, that's no, what she said moment today, though.
I mean,
you, too you know, educational.
It was too educational. It was a little bit too passionate. You did have... I'll say, like, there was a soft graze, you know, when we talked about it being, you know, it, there is a thing as too much, you know, this is one area where you can't have too much of a good thing, you know, and for me, it made me think of, like, anything bigger than a handful, but, you know.
It's useless.
I know.
There's no purpose for it. No, awesome.
It's just extra fluff in the hand. Yep. So... yeah, we can definitely throw some links. You know, if you guys are looking for, you know, some more information, like I said, there's some great stuff out there. Aaron Rodgers, that shit literally posted like this week, I think, or like this past week. And then Michael Pollan, How to Change Your Mind. Awesome book, like super intense book. There's so much packed into a paragraph for me. It's like, I read a paragraph and I'm like, wow. So there's an awesome, for those of us who don't have the attention span or time, there's a really great limited series documentary that just put itself on Netflix. And you know, for the visually needy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll drop it all below.
Yeah.
For sure. That way you guys can find your way. And as always, if you have any topics or anything you want to hear from us, get a hold of us.
Yeah, for sure. Let us know.
Yeah, the socials and the Gmails and all that things. But otherwise, remember that that's what she said.
That is what she said. And you know, as always, talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Like what you hear? Click and subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. Questions, comments, or ideas for an upcoming episode, email us at notyourtypicaldoctors@gmail.com. Don't forget, connect with us on LinkedIn and follow us on Instagram at Not Your Typical Doctors.
Talk to you later.